Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. It is wow, November 24, 2020, and man, I got so much news for you. Good morning, and welcome to Kelly O'Connell Show, KO Knockout Radio. We have got today something that I didn't foresee saying about a week ago, even a week ago, which was that Trump is transitioning as Sidney Powell is discredited. And Trump transitioning as he gets bad advice is Sidney Powell ruined. And in a shocking turn, Trump election fraud and General Flynn attorney Sidney Powell was fired. Rudy Giuliano stated Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She's also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. The move represents at least a partial rejection of Powell's epic theory of a worldwide communist Chinese election conspiracy entangling vast swaths of the globe. Having declared the CIA head corrupt and Georgia governor bribed by vote tabulation companies, Powell stated, "Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up." And the Secretary of State and Mr. Kemp need to go. The governor and Secretary of State need to go with it. And suggesting that her move would be biblical. And so what happened here, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the sad part of this story is that Sidney, or the president, is starting to leave. Now, what happened? What was possible? What occurred? Well, I think a couple of things happened, which you will certainly identify with and agree with here, no matter what side of the aisle, is that these guys were, they were out, basically out strategized. And, you know, so Trump is leaving office and he's knocking down the price of drugs. He's doing things once again that nobody in his office has ever done. And he's focusing on achievement. He's focusing on doing things that only he did in the way that he did them, building an economy, building the military, confronting enemies, as opposed to just this crazy policy that we put together decades and decades ago that was meant to encourage and grow China, which was always a stupid idea, in my opinion. But it continued on to give China a financial advantage, and I'll get you the name of the program later, but it's you know, this idea that if you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you. You know, it just you know, it's just it's kind of sad that we felt like we had to build up China, and instead of just being friendly, instead of just being you know, polite or whatever, we felt like we had to build them up, and we've built up. It's like raising an animal, a wild animal, a bobcat, a mountain lion, a tiger, an Africa lion, should I go on, you know? Putting a shark in your swimming pool. There's a certain point when you're helping something that you're actually, you're harming yourself, and you're harming yourself because of the fact that you don't build up your enemies. I mean, even if you're the nicest person, even if you're Paul or Jesus, you're not building up your enemies, because what you're doing is giving aid and encouragement to the people who hate you. And China is not our friend. China has a very, very historic disdain for the rest of the world, and historically has been a group that is questioned and worked against and fought, United States were our allies. And I mean, they just went and killed a bunch of India. I think, India is our ally. India is our real ally. And they went and got in a fight. And I think it was in Kashmir, where they used some sort of an energy machine where they were cooking. You know, they got into a conflict. They obviously wanted to test their machinery, so they brought this giant microwave over and cooked a bunch of Kashmiri soldiers. So, you know, what's happening? All right, so we've got some really difficult decisions to make. And if you're a Trump follower, it's an easy decision to say that I'm going to stick with Don and common sense. But what's the next step? And so the next step, I think, is to continue on now looking for problems with the vote, whether they can be used right now. One of the things that happened, and this is one of the shortcomings of Donald Trump's approach, is that he was a person who, and I was trying to figure this out, there's a lot of people that have worked with Trump who have tried to, have taken objection to him, that dislike him. And so that fact leads to other facts, and the other facts are to state the obvious thing, you start off with an unpopular position. You're a critic of your own party. You're an enemy of the other party. People don't like you. People immediately get alarmed, and so they go and fight against you, and they do things out in the open. They do things behind your back, and they there's some number of Republicans who actually were in favor of the impeachment or in favor of the Russia hoax. And that's how sick the party is. That's how sick the GOP is. I ran local talk radio for 6 years, never got a call from the GOP. I would regularly put that fact out there. Nobody paid any attention. And so I was the only person in my town that was that far out of promoting the ideas of the party, but not really the party, but really the theory of conservatism. And people didn't, obviously those people didn't contact me. They didn't thank me, but as they're running candidates, what's in their mind? I mean, what are you trying to do when you have somebody that would logically help you and promote your ideas, and you year after year continue to just ignore them and pretend that you've got whatever resources you need to get ahead and lose and lose and lose? The town I live in is very, very, very liberal. But so getting back to Trump, the fact of the matter is that could he have been a different person? Maybe he doesn't get into office then. Maybe he's got to be a person who is opposed, who makes waves, who criticizes. If he had gotten rid of his tweet would he have done better? I mean, sure, I guess, but I mean, how does he get into office if he is not tweeting and getting support from people like Matt Drudge? And now, and Matt Drudge, a different thing, Drudge Report. The Drudge gave up on Trump a couple of years ago. Why? You know, here's my question, though. The people that went after him, I'm thinking of a blonde lady who was a big backer of his, and her thing was the border. And it's not Graham because she's got the show on Fox, but it's, let me get her name for you here. Yeah, I'm sure if you're listening, you know who it is already. But she's a very good friend of Matt Drudge's and Ann Coulter. And Ann Coulter is super smart, you know, super talented attorney, but she made her her mountain to fight and die on was the border. Now, she continually tore up Trump, even though as far as I could tell, he was trying very hard to finish or start the border wall. And she goes and at some point says, I'm done with Trump. He's a piece of crap. I'm over it. And I'm looking at this stuff and thinking he's this, you know, Trump is not a sellout. There's maybe different ideas that he has that are, you know, more or less popular with the base but you know, Trump has been as popular as any politician, any Republican politician in history over a longer period of time with his base than anybody has. So what did he do wrong so that Ann Coulter got upset and, you know, said, I'm done with him. And, you know, I think that affected Matt Drudge. I don't think he did anything. I think that there's a couple of things that happened, and one of which is he wouldn't change his style of fighting. But I think one of the reasons on Twitter, I think one of the reasons he did that is that's New York. Another reason that he did that is because he was jumped faster than any person in history. So they tried to kill him before he got into office. And I'm thinking of this guy that has got like this incredible history of he's a songwriter, and he's a very, very charismatic guy, very, very funny songwriter. He's dead now. But I think one of his albums was called Mr. Bad Attitude. And I think, you know, to a large extent, Trump saw I don't think you will find anybody in recent history who's got a better way of summing things up. And kind of, Trump has got extraordinary insight into human nature. Now, he's not a Christian, as far as I can tell. But he just has an epic way of looking at things and kind of strategizing, seeing what's there. In the case, getting back to the election, Trump didn't have that same thing. I think he was distracted by running for election, right? But listen to this. He had warned for 2 or 3 years that when they brought in the mail-in ballots, that there was going to be a problem. There was going to be fraud, and there has been fraud. Now, going back to Sidney Powell, what happened? Sidney Powell, I've done some thinking. It didn't add up to me when she was when she left. But it did fit in with a lot of the other things, and I'm getting back to a little bit of Machiavelli, but this is common sense too. This is biblical, if you want to say it that way. This is the Old Testament. This is Solomon talking. Don't take shots at people. This is right out of Machiavelli, though. Don't shoot at somebody unless you can kill them. I mean, it's meant politically. Is don't take on somebody who's strong, who's powerful, who can help you, or in this case, you know, why would you accuse governor of how is Sidney Powell going to survive this? They need the governor's help. The governor didn't give Trump the kind of help that he wanted or that Sidney Powell wanted. So she is getting all this disinformation. Sidney Powell is a study in naivety and talent and good-heartedness, if you will. I'm going to say stupidity, but somebody said she was into QAnon, and I had never, I'd heard about QAnon, but to be completely honest, I had never even looked up the definition, but I went, because I've heard of it. Now I realize it has to do with Pizzagate, which is this pizza restaurant in D.C. that was supposed to be connected to pedophilia. But here's QAnon from Wikipedia. Far-right conspiracy theory alleging that a cabal or a group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles is running a global child sex trafficking ring and plotting against U.S. President Donald Trump, who's fighting it. Now I've heard, and I should have looked this up a long time ago, but I have heard of parts of this, and, you know, it wouldn't surprise me in the least that pedophiles were trying to undermine Trump or anybody else in the government, because pedophiles are the most mindlessly dedicated and ferociously evil people. And there's something about being a pedophile that creates an insatiable lust in the men. And I assume there's a few women, but it's almost all men. It's fascinating. It's also crazy. I mean, here's a bottom line. Unless you have a fact to back you up, don't Pizzagate the governor of Georgia. Don't Pizzagate the head of the CIA. I think the head of the CIA is terrible, just like the head of the FBI is terrible, and they fought Trump. And because Trump was in the position that he was in, he couldn't remove the head of the FBI because, you know, he's the person that he was given advice to put in there. So the person who gave him advice was himself an enemy or an ever-Trumper. It's an absolute miracle that a Trump was able to achieve anything or didn't resign. So just think back a little bit, though, the way things played out. You know, you read about somebody in history, and everything that you're told, you either take it or leave it, but it is, it's just you're reading a book, you know, and you don't know anything about the time. Now you're living in this time, and you can see that the way that this played out, number one, it could have been different. What is the main mistake that Trump made? I think it was to leave dead-enders, Obamaites in there, number one. Number two, he offended his party, but, you know, that's because the GOP is corrupt. They're self-dedicated. They want the power. They want the privilege. You know, they want the prestige. They want that. They want all that stuff. They think it's their right when once they get to, you know, they fought, they ran for office, they won. And so they won in the House. Being in the House is like being a professional athlete, you know, the few, the chosen. Being in the Senate is like being an all-pro, you know, all-pro NFL player, whatever, all-star NBA player. It's just, you know, it's just enormously vested in a respect and admiration and guts, courage, all these different things. And really, a lot of these people, and I had talked to Steve Pierce one time, and I talked to him about what kind of people he ran into office, being obviously he was the House rep from New Mexico, and he said they tend to be fairly average people, the kind of people that you run into, the kind of people you're comfortable around. And that made sense, because a lot of people who are highly gifted, these gifts stick out and they are disliked because of the gifts. Now, that's not true, of course, when you're dealing with exceptionally talented people like Ted Cruz, who was a national debate champion in college and university. And I think, where did he, I think he went to, he was, I think Ted Cruz went to Yale as an attorney, but he went, his undergrad, I think, was in, anyway, I'll remember it, but it's an old university. But so anyway, getting back to this, where are we at right now? Number one, Sidney Powell is discredited. Number two, Sidney Powell may have single-handedly foiled the attempt to fight the re-election fraud. I'm convinced there's still a fraud there. But it is on Trump. And so like many, many things that happen, if you see a train wreck, if you see a fire, if you see a business that was once very powerful go under, Sears, for instance, Sears was the original Montgomery Ward, and Sears were the original internet, because they came up with these books, these catalogs, and were sent out, and people would order out of them. Now, update it. Now everything's happening instantly through the internet, but Sears had no idea, no theory, no interest in the internet. I mean, Montgomery Ward's gone anyway. Sears is basically destroyed. The last one of those giant companies that's left is Penny's. And did Penny's do anything online? You know, people get comfortable, especially when they've been successful. And the instinct to keep innovating and keep innovating and keep innovating, which you have to do. I mean, the average business doesn't last that long. The average business fails. The businesses that are successful, look at IBM. IBM could have been, right now, Google. IBM could have been Microsoft. But they didn't. Why didn't they? Because if you have the genius to get in the position that IBM was in, kind of the innovator of the computer, there was no institutional pushback to keep innovating and keep going in different directions. Now, it's not like IBM is dead, but they don't even have computers anymore. They sold them to Lenovo, right? So getting back to where we're at, what is going on with Trump? Trump is not conceding, but he's going through the transition so that he can save his reputation, so he can run again. Sidney Powell got into a mess, a tangle, a trove, an ocean of disinformation. Have you ever gotten one of those letters from the, like, Nigeria? My uncle is General Sani Abacha, and he's dead. He put $20 million in an overseas account, and we need for you to send a certain amount of money so we can pay the fees, the banking fees, to get this transferred. you'll get some part of this money. Well, anything that starts with a crime is not a good bet. So you've got these things that are coming out that are transparently iffy. China is running this giant election fraud across the globe. Hey man, that is right in the wheelhouse of communism. There's nothing wrong with putting that into your novel. There's nothing wrong with the idea that China wants to do that. There's nothing wrong with having that as part of their dream, but did they do it? There's the question, not would they do it, but did they do it? These companies are all incestuously involved with one another. Sequoia voting systems, Dominion voting systems. And I was thrown off myself when I was studying this. There's no harm in saying that. Call in guests 516-387-1963. But, you know, you follow the... You got to be a bloodhound. You keep your nose to the ground. You don't fall in love with the theory, and then everything becomes the theory. And that's what happened to Sidney Powell. She was communicated. She got disinformation, just like QAnon. She was disinformationized. She was propagandized. She was brainwashed, and she fell in love with the theory. And all she was waiting for was for the facts to show up, and they were not showing up. And people began to get frustrated. And so Tucker Carlson finally calls her out. I love what you're doing. Can you show me some facts? And Sidney Powell says to him, I'm busy. And he says, well, this is very important and supposed to be the greatest fraud in human history. Could you just show me a few facts? And, you know, Sidney Powell's response is, like I said, I'm busy. I'm helping the president. I'm the president's attorney. We're fighting this. We only have a few days. And so Tucker outs her, and that's not what started the fall, but that's what started the end of the fall. What started the fall was Sidney Powell, who is apparently a very brilliant woman, getting into this situation where she said it on TV, I'm not an election lawyer. Well, where's the election lawyer to help you? And so this, if you're looking for a fraud in the approach, like I say, there's many. The fact that Trump didn't have a lot of friends and therefore didn't have too many election litigators is a problem. Therefore, he didn't have, even though he predicted this, there would be a giant fraud here. He was distracted by running the country. He didn't have the strategy. He didn't have the people to come along and say that this is what you need to do. And so when all this stuff started happening in the background, my goodness, the background of these companies from Venezuela and the fact that Smartmatic, who's another smart, you call it Smartmatic voting systems, they're all the same. And a little hi out there to Fran, who's listening. Put it all together. All right. So you have got a situation where the main thing of this, think about this. So you're Trump. The main fact that you have to deal with right now? It's not fraud. It is not communism. It is not, double agents or secret Chinese college students espionage agents. It is not the Democrats. It is, you know, I could go on and on here. The main thing is time. All right. Strictly related to that, very related to that, is strategy. You've got to, and what strategy related to? It's related to knowledge. You've got to have somebody running this thing who's a vote lawyer, a person who's had experience. And so what they did is they ignored things like signatures. The thing that they could have gone after is historic voting issues, dates on envelopes, obviously ballots that are snuck in or a thumb drive that brings in some sort of a virus to throw the election. That's part of your investigation, but you're putting this grand scheme, this grand communist scheme, this QAnon theory, and it becomes the case. And the judge doesn't care about QAnon. The judge doesn't give a damn about Russia. So even Sidney Powell, in her limitations of being a lawyer for an appeal, which she was helping with Michael Flynn and General Flynn, and which she was very good at, she was brilliant at. Everybody has limitations. Man's got to know his limitations, right? Dirty Harry. And so she's outside of her expertise, and she is out of her expertise. She's a Christian, all right? The reason that I have sympathy for her is she's a Christian and she's trying to save the world. I get it. But you got to know your role. Now, I don't know if you can hear this over. Maybe Fran can let me know if you can hear this clip right here. Here, start this over.
Man's got to know his limitations.
Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry. Man's got to know his limitations. So, Fran, could you hear that? This is probably one of the greatest theories in the history of, and maybe, I'll try this again one more time. Maybe it didn't. I'm going to turn this puppy up here one more time. Clint, Dirty Harry.
Man's got to know his limitations.
So, maybe I'll see if I can download that into the program. Fran, can you hear that? Let's not seeing a response there. Maybe. So here is, if you can take this in as a theme, as a grand idea, as an operative theory, you will be so far ahead of your competitors. Conservatism. Oh, okay. Barely heard the clip. I'm going to turn this puppy up here all the way. And here we go.
Man's got to know his limitations.
So, that gives me, actually, that's good news, because I was not sure in the new system that I'm using if you could get one of the classic problems of doing radio or doing broadcasting or recording or whatever is most systems you can't play something on a computer and get it over the air or get it recorded inside your machine for reasons that I have no idea, but that's just an issue. But now it seems like you can. So how loud? All right. So she's saying, so you know what? This gives me a chance to get some stuff on here. Isn't that interesting? But here is getting back to this main theme. What is the main theme? A man has to know his limitations. All right. Universalize that. People are limited. Human beings are limited. We are limited in our powers on Earth. And one of the powers that we don't have the ability to do is to create a utopia. It just, for many, many reasons, but for the fact that, for a couple of different reasons, the very design of Earth, the very design of life on terra firma means that we cannot create something that goes against human nature, that goes against economic laws. So what if I told you I was trying to build a machine that defied gravity? You'll say, well, we already got one of those. It's called a plane. It's called a rocket. Well, what if you had a spotty reception now? Oh my goodness. That's not nice. Maybe this is that better. Tendency is to not want things in your face. So you tend to turn away naturally without thinking from the microphone, but the lesson is that there's rules out there. And one of the rules is that you can't have a perpetual motion machine. If you think about it, utopia, which is what the left is really fighting for, to create paradise on earth, if the stupid and ignorant conservatives and the uninitiated are not, and let me try one more thing there. Oh, that's got to be better right there. But that's from my microphone. It's an art and a science. And so you can't build a utopia because the facts of utopia go against gravity. You can build a plane and fly against gravity, but you really are not. Everything in an airplane agrees with or uses gravity to stay in the air, if that makes any sense. Everything in the design of a plane, everything in the design of a rocket. When you don't take into consideration all these things, then what you end up with is a crash. And if you think about that, if you develop that a little bit, then you'll see that that's a universal principle. It is, and maybe I should do a show about that tomorrow. I'm just kind of thinking about this. And so you have a universal principle. You cannot. So here's another one. You can't destroy God because God is established. Now, you might be an atheist, might be an agnostic, but the issue is that if there is a God, and God is anything like the God of the Bible, which is the most popular God on the earth between Protestants and Catholics and Jews and Muslims. These are all groups oriented towards the Bible in one way or the other. Then you couldn't get rid of God. But maybe the main goal of liberalism, believe it or not, is to destroy God. Now, to put it into those words sounds absurd. And because it is like socialism, transparently delivered, it is one of the stupidest ideas in history. And because if there is a God, then God made you and you have no power against God. So think about all of the things that people do, especially today, that are a rejection of God. And so somebody like, and I got his books behind me on the shelf here, Eric, what's his name? Let's see. Well, anyway, Eric Voglin said that deicide is the soul of leftism. Deicide, the murder of God. Why do you murder God? You know why you murder God? Because, and this is getting a little bit deeper, not just into theology, but into philosophy. You murder God, what do you get rid of? You get rid of sin. If you get rid of sin, what do you get rid of? You get rid of death. And so it is this perverted attempt to outwit God and overcome him. And so that's why so many people are on the left are so unhinged And they're unhinged because what they're trying to do is, it is wrong. It's morally wrong. It's ethically wrong. But it's also stupid. And it's also, and then and you can see this. Let me make a suggestion. You could, if you're around homeless people, you can see people that are living kind of in defiance of not just the rules of society, whatever they are at the place where these people live, but really, and not even just the norms, but this, this, you know, that there's this idea that God puts out this plan. And people either take it or leave it. And in leaving it, you have to come up with an alternative theory. And that theory is going to be more or less of a failure. But so, you know, look at leftism, look at liberalism as being basically it's like a homeless camp. It is a place where the rules are turned upside down. And here is, you know, you don't find, you do find pedophilia, speaking of QAnon, you do find pedophilia in history, but how successful was it when the Romans owned slaves and then, you know, the slave owners had the right, because there was no law, there was no concept against it, except for the slaves, that they were, there were a lot of, there's a lot of pedophilia in the Roman Empire, in the late Roman Empire, in the beginning of the Roman Republic and such, there was no slavery, and slavery is, was a result of winning so many battles and taking so many people into captivity. And so what was life like? Well, is the more you get into slavery, the more disconnected you are from reality, and people are used as things and they're abused and they're murdered. You know, what's the law against murdering a slave in Rome, you know? So, that put tremendous pressure on Rome, and Rome collapsed. I'm not saying that's the only reason that Rome collapsed, but it brings in a sense of unreality. And so we have a sense of unreality in this country of what we're going to do. And it's this idea that we are going to fight against gravity. And in fighting against gravity, we are going to, you know, we're going to fly to the stars. And, you know, rocket ships, they also crash. You know, we remember the space shuttle that went down, the Challenger, because of one tiny error in an O-ring on the ship where, on the rockets where they were taking off. And the O-ring, I guess, was, I think it was like, it was rubber and it was frozen, something like this. And it was frozen because of the, you know, this, whatever the fuel was extremely cold because it was liquefied. And so the O-ring disintegrates, the fuel escapes, there's an explosion. The explosion or fire creates a massive explosion of all the fuel. And they say, you know, here's one of the interesting things. That pod that had all those people in it, all those space explorers, astronauts, as it's falling, they believe that those people were all alive until they hit the water. So think about that. But so you've got this crazy desire to take over the universe and rename it for people, get rid of God. And this is, obviously, this is a Christian or a religious message at some level. But at another level, it is by observation, a study of history and common sense, that these things are also true. And that's a tremendous problem of living in the time that we are. We separate the religious ideas from the political ideas. And so you end up with a very sick politic and you end up with a sick church. But you don't have to be religious to understand these things. You just have to pay attention. And so, you know, when you're dealing with things like this, and there's an upside and a downside. And so they got off track, and Sidney Powell was energized. She was turned into this very shrill and almost hysterical figure who was fighting for, think about it. I mean, think about how exciting it would be. You're in office, or you're helping the president. You've become indispensable to the most powerful man in the world. And this person is about to lose an election, which most people would consider that there were big problems with. And at the end of this, and I'll just say it right now, I believe the election was stolen. But I don't think it was stolen by China and super agents and just one thing that happened. I think there was a number of things that happened in Wisconsin, which usually puts out 1,000 incarcerated ballots. You know, people who are locked up put out 200,000 this year. So that alone, you know, obviously, and who's looking into it? Well, nobody's looking into it that I know of, because the Justice Department, you know, number one, Trump doesn't have he certainly doesn't have a group, but I don't know how many attorneys that he has that are experts, you know, the Hans von Spakovsky, these election experts. They don't have that. They have leadership from Rudy Giuliani, who's not an election expert, who gives inspired a direction, and he's a good guy to have. But so you got Sidney Powell shows up. She gets a whiff of basically QAnon election story and kind of goes haywire. And she starts not just claiming that there was a... there was a conspiracy, which there may have been. I mean, for heaven's sakes, why not? But she begins to do things like state that the people who are out there are corrupt. I mean, where's her evidence? Where's her hard evidence that Kemp, Governor Kemp, was bribed to help Dominion? I mean, is Dominion a crappy company? I believe it is. I mean, I believe that any company that's related to these companies that were started down in Venezuela, I think is terrible. But you got to have the goods. You know, that's what she forgot. Show me the money. Show me the goods. Prove to me that you've got a machine that can overcome gravity for a while. Come to us. And I'm looking. There's all kind of articles out there that are supporting Sidney Powell. But there was something wrong. You don't accuse the CIA of corruption without evidence. You don't. And I accept that she is corrupt because she did not follow directions. But you don't confuse your love affair with your grand theory for what's going on right in front of you. That's the lesson here. The lesson is stick to what's right in front of you. Address the need for facts for where you're at. Don't get caught up in this giant fight against evil and Satan across the world. You've got a job. Sidney Powell had a job to find actual evidence of wrongdoing in Philadelphia, of wrongdoing in Wisconsin, of wrongdoing in Georgia, in Nevada, in Arizona and anywhere else. And what did I originally say is the number one component here, the number one issue? It's time. Very closely related to time is strategy. Very closely related to strategy is experience and knowledge of the law. Put all those things together. She didn't have a strategy because she didn't know the law. She shouldn't have been in a leadership position making strategy. So what she was waiting for was this massive dump of facts and of video and of email and of affidavits that was going to show that our election was robbed by China. There was not enough time. There wasn't even remotely enough time to do that. What she could have done was go after the signatures. What they probably still could do. What we needed is an analysis from the Supreme Court. I am not saying that it would be impossible to win now, but does Trump look like he's winning right now? Does the GOP seem like they're going to win? Does Biden act like he's going to lose? So we're running out of time. And so is this a lost opportunity? Yeah. Was it mishandled? Yeah. But what's the next step? What is, let's say we lose the election. What's the next step? Where do we go to? You know, Trump needs to decide if he's going to run for office. And again, in running for office again, can he get from here to 2022 without getting a felony? I mean, because these guys absolutely hate his guts. And they know he's an existential threat. And look what he did to harm liberalism. Look what he did to take away the lie, to obscure the theory that liberalism is a beautiful way of life, is effective, is wholesome. So think about all the things they did to get rid of him, including Russia, including impeachment, including investigation after investigation, including the attack of the attack. Think about this. Nancy Pelosi destroyed her reputation by going after Trump. She did a terrible job in this election because all of her people lost. No Republicans lost. And they almost lost total control of the House. They didn't take over the Senate, although they still could. Although these people that are working in running for office, I mean, I guess the one guy is super duper leftist. I don't think he's going to win. But the other guy, John Ossoff, there needs to be somebody to get up and ask. You were raised in the suburbs of Atlanta. You went to a very progressive and expensive school until you went to college. Where did you pick up? He's a black Jewish kid, or he's a white Jewish kid. Where did you pick up a black accent? How does that happen? He's got this style of speaking that kind of sounds like Obama. I'm just thinking, go become a white rapper. You know, don't run for office and extremely smug, you know. So, and running out of time here a little bit, but I want to just stick as many things in here that I can. And what I would put in there is that, think about it, this the same problem that Sidney Powell had, which was she saw some trees and confused it for the forest and went after the forest. And her job was to cut down a few trees. And she's organizing this giant government project to go and cut down the forest. That wasn't her job at that time. And in liberalism, think about this. If you deal with a true liberal, and you're not liberal if you're conservative, what's one of the main characteristics? Being talked down to, condescending, you know, dismissive, and what's the problem with that? It's the same problem. People who become truly liberal develop a condescending and dismissive and know-it-all attitude. Now, does becoming a liberal mean that you know everything? No, of course it doesn't. So how is that explained? It's explained by saying that what happens is that it would be like living in a primitive group of people and who were headhunters or whatever, cannibals. And then a group kind of paired off, say some missionaries showed up and taught these guys, the new group is going to be the elites. They're going to look down on everybody. But the problem with liberalism is a couple. Number one, it gives people the sense that they know everything compared to the individuals that they're opposed to. That's a problem. The second one is liberalism is, in its broad sense, pseudo knowledge. Liberalism in general, in broad scope, is a failure. You can see that in history. You can see it now. So it's like a virus that takes away the common sense or the higher logical mind of a person. Is you buy into this, and it is therefore a religious. It's got a religious element when it comes in, and it's got everything, kind of lined up, and it's got the purpose of man. It's got the how economics works, how history works. It's what Marx did was a failure. Now maybe you find it an interesting failure, but it's a failed approach to life, and it's what is driving these people. And the scary thing is that the scariest part of this is that there is no appreciation of the human person. Humans are ants. We're big ants, and we're there to help humanity. And when we're not helping humanity, we can be killed. I mean, look at USSR. This is, 50 years ago? 60 years ago? In communist China, the same thing. So if you end up in a religion, a political religion that does not...
90 seconds.
That does not... I'm sure you heard that. Does not value human beings, then that's what you end up with. And that's the real problem. Anyway, I'll take you out. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Kelly O'Connell. Kelly O'Connell Show. Ciao.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long, for so long.